All right, let's call the meeting in order. We have a quorum. Let me get my agenda here. If you could keep your reports, expedite your reports, because Director Yaroslavsky is going to give me a buck for every minute I'm early. So I'll accept a meeting adjourned. Oh, yeah. All right. Record will note who is present. And let's go. Arthi, it's all yours.
Thank you, sir. I think the Caltrans is not here this morning to make
right. He gave me a an updated report. Did you get this?
No, sir. I'm not. Thank
you. So I'll give this to you.
Okay. Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. This is item number 48. We are requesting awarding three professional service contracts. These are all 3-year labor contracts with 2 1-year options. The reason for these three different teams is Metro does not have all the staff it needs all the time to perform the engineering services in various disciplines. So we do get loads of work in it's a cycle that comes in depending on the contractor's progress and the way they approach the work. So these three teams will be providing us the skills that we need on a task order basis, and the monies for these work comes from within the project budgets itself. So we went through a qualification-based process to select these teams, and the three teams are the maintenance design group for the bus and rail maintenance facilities, and then the LTK for the systems work, and then we have Jackie Patterson for the supplemental engineering services on all other facilities that we need to do, and also the third-party work.
Okay. If you need additional employees and you pick them out of a specific project for a specific function, when that particular review or effort's done, then they're no longer on the payroll. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. That is the reason for these services.
Okay.
Task order basis, and on a task-by-task, they come in and perform the work, and then they are not here.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Nalini is charged with keeping their budgetary record straight so that we don't lose track. We therefore maintain the record that this certain position is dedicated to this certain project and the funding source, and it lapses when the project lapses.
Well, I mean, they may not be in a whole project from beginning to end, right?
No,
it's a specific discipline, right?
And they're free to.
And where is the oversight on whether you're getting 5 people for 200 hours?
These are the engineering services. It will be under the executive officer in charge of engineering for all the projects.
So you get like monthly reports, and then you're able to?
Yes, sir. We have monthly reports, and we have oversight by FTA as well as oversight by our own program management group.
Okay. Public comment, Mr. Sachs is here someplace. Oh, of course, the back row.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, Arnold Sachs. You're spending $18 million, loads of different work. So let me ask this, because we don't really know as the public you're spending money.
We're not spending $18 million. I don't know where you get $18 million.
$6 million for the first, for A, $6 million for B, and $6 million for 3. That's $18 million. That's where I get $18 million from. But the loads of work that you get, and then some of these numbers may be wrong, but I do remember reading that there were 17 different routes chosen for the West Side Extension. There were approximately 37 different routes chosen for the 710 route, and there were approximately, the change in the Gold Line East Side Extension went from 1 to about 40. So when you increase those number of studies in areas that just absolutely make no sense, does that increase the cost on the projects? And that is something that these people would work for? I mean, you also, when you do that, you include a no-build motion. If you have a no-build motion after 40 different studies, something's wrong with that math.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Or what is the committee's? Yeah.
Second.
I'll have some more questions at the full board, though. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Without objection, so order. 49.
Item number 49 is a request for approving a proposed program. And this is to provide a real-time information to the public regarding the congestion and the construction-related delays. There was a motion by you and Director Du Bois on this, and we have come up with the program. Can you click that this thing, please? So what we did was, based on the motion, we came up with a program for your approval and also any comments, direction you want to give us. We contacted all the working groups that are out there in the L.A. County area, which is the L.A. Safe, Caltrans, L.A. DOT, Dig Alert, City of L.A., Bureau of Engineering, and Director Kanabi. Based on your instruction yesterday, we did talk to CHP yesterday afternoon and this morning, and they are also on board. So we are going to work with these entities who are collecting information based on their own specific interests. We want to collect all of that and then feed that information to the public in from one place. So our work here is to develop that strategy. The first task would be to meet with these regional agencies on a monthly basis to make sure that we have the wherewithal of all the information that's out there. And then we will, and next step, go and install computers in those agencies where we can connect to that information database that they have and get that feed into our system that we are going to put in here. And Metro will have, at each construction sites, we are going to have our own CCTV, video detection, Bluetooth, and we are also going to be connected to a Metro Transit Center by fiber optic. And then we are going to get the feeds from everybody, and then we are going to take all that information, and then this is what we will be doing. We get the information from the construction sites, and then we feed into the Metro at the Gateway building where we are going to have facilities. We also have the feed from all the various entities that are collecting traffic information based on their interests. So we're going to combine them all and then feed into applications that are out there, the TVC, Google, and other systems that are out there. So that's...
I just, you know, my issue to you yesterday was, this is, you know, part of our motion, but there are a lot of things out there right now. I mean, as again, you know, like I showed you yesterday, I have that CHP traffic app on my phone, and that's as it happens. So it works really well, and it covers the entire basin. You can go any place. So make sure we talk to them.
We did. We have now established the contract, and we'll be doing that. And we're also talking to other media, so, you know, Google and those people, see how we can use the information. I think once we have our three major projects moving along next year, we're going to be impacting a lot of construction-related delays to the public. So we need to make sure the information is on a real-time basis.
Okay.
And CEO has asked us to work with these agencies and their participation and what levels of participation they are going to give us, and then we will come back to you with a...
Okay, this item is a receive and file. We do have public comment. Mr. Sachs? There's no action required on this. Greg?
No, it's approval. It's an action item.
What are we approving? Another report? Oh, yeah. You want to hear yourself. Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Would that be part of the, by the way, would that the flood control basin that you were talking about where your CHP app covers, sir? You mentioned all these things you're doing for people with handheld devices. What are you doing for people on the buses themselves? Will you be having messages on bus routes that are impacted by construction? Will you be putting up signages in the street? There was a disaster at 5th and Flower yesterday. Somebody was doing some maintenance work. Two lanes were closed. Will you be informing the public? I know that sometimes in the South Bay they list where they're going to have checkpoints for DUI, and they also list on the freeway that fines in construction zones will be increased. Will you be doing an education program to the public that says if you block the intersections at a construction site, you will be ticketed and fined? Will there be an increase in public awareness about these situations?
It's all part of the motion.
Well, of the motion deals, sir, with electronic devices.
We're not here to debate. Thank you. Thank you for your comments.
You don't have an electronic device in your SOL.
SOL. I think I know what that means. All right. Chair will move it, seconded by Director O'Connor. Without objection, so ordered. All right. Next item.
Next one is item number 50. We are requesting approval here to award construction management support services to Arcadis. We had two proposers for this. These are qualification-based selection. After requests for qualification, they were evaluated, and the two teams they made their presentations based on the presentations and the skill sets that they have presented. We have selected Arcadis. We want to request you to award this contract. This is an 8-year cost plus fixed fee contract. It's basically, this is specific to regional connector only. We do not have all the construction support staff that we need, so they will be providing those services for the duration of the contract. For the first 3 years, it is $3.5 million, and then we are also asking a 15% modification authority to the CEO. We'll be happy to answer any questions.
Yeah, my question is, obviously, the fact you only had two bidders, number one, and in the report, you basically said that some firms were participating in a design-build team for either this project or the West Side Subway, and so were not available or chose not to participate. How are we, with that and everything we got going on, how are we going to improve industry participation in procurements like these?
There is a limited pool when it comes to major underground construction contracts in the country as a whole. So when we go with the support services like this, and also we go with a design-build contract, the firms have to make their choice whether to go with the design-build contractor or provide these kind of services. So based on that, that's why the competition is very limited. Everybody is experiencing the same when it comes to these type. Number two, we have the volume of work, which is probably unique compared to any other city in the country today. So we have all the big players in town, but they are trying to make their choices as to which one of them is best suitable for them. But I think we do have a very good competition, these two teams. They have given us their best candidates available for the work that we need for them to do. Based on that selection, we feel this is a good choice.
It seems like, it's a good choice. I'm not complaining about that, but I just concerned that we're going to start limiting participation in some of these procurements because we have so much going on, and we definitely need to reach out to the industry.
We are doing that, yes, sir. We are doing that.
Mr. Sachs?
Yes, thank you. Good morning again, Arnold Sachs. Evidently, I must be reading a different business section because in the newspapers I read, it's all about the economy being bad, 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 and there's slowly uptick in economy. So the fact that you would have limited people bidding for these projects when, jeepers, when you had the labor agreement discussions here, places filled up with contracting management saying we need these jobs to put people back to work.
Yeah, right.
How can you then turn around and say, well, we have limited people coming in to bid on these items? You would think, and throughout the country, there's a limited amount of people. I mean, by the way, these are these, is there a management team? Is there going to be a construction authority that they deal with for the regional connector? I don't believe we've heard any discussion regarding that. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Okay. The item's before us.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay, moved and second without objection, so order. I had a request from Director Huizar. I believe it was on item 51. He wanted to address that as it related to the Division 13 project, but he is on his way, right?
Just skip it. Come back here. You should be here soon.
All right. Okay. I believe that's the last item, though. Item 51 is the last item. Is it not?
No.
51 and 52 is there also. Yeah, item 51 is the executive director's status report.
I want you to hold off on 51 for a... Do we?
Yes, sir.
CEO's report.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, and we'll start with 52.
Okay.
And then 53 and then 51.
Good morning. Brian Boudreau, Program Management Metro. This is our monthly report to the committee on the status of our major construction projects with a focus predominantly on the schedule and budget status for each one. The first overview just goes through each of the projects we're tracking at this time. The ones in the light colored shading are the ones that are in the engineering construction phase. We've got individual assessments for each one. And the ones in the shaded area are still going through planning, so we haven't yet got to that level of detail. First project I'd like to discuss today is the Crenshaw LAX project. As you know, we've received the best and final offers last Friday on this project, so we're still in the process of evaluating those BAFOs with the expectation that they'll be coming back to the board in May with a recommendation as to how to proceed. From a schedule perspective, we had originally had a very aggressive schedule for the procurement process for this project as a result of additional industry outreach and now the need to go through a BAFO process. We're now projecting about a six-month slip in the completion date of the project as a result of that. We're hoping that perhaps through the BAFO process there might be some opportunity to recover some of that slip, but at least we wanted you to be aware of that potential impact to the completion date. West Side Subway Extension, from a budgetary standpoint, we've recently gone through a process with the Federal Transit Administration known as the Risk Assessment, where we go through all the various elements of the project and try to assign some dollar values to the risk for each item. As a result of that, the FTA has requested that we make an adjustment to the escalation rates assumed for this project, going from 3% annual rate to about 3.5%. As a result of that, there's been a slight uptick in the project forecast, about $62 million, to reflect that higher rate. We're not recommending at this point that we actually increase the project budget, but we want you to at least be aware that that's information that's now out there that we're assessing. And then from a schedule standpoint, there's been no change in the project completion schedule at this point, so everything's good to go. We've got some litigation, obviously, that still needs to be worked through on this project that could impact it. But at this point in time, we have no reason to believe that we will not be successful on those in that litigation. Regional connector, we're not forecasting any increase in the budget at this point in time, but we've got to go back and take a look at this cost escalation assumption that the FTA is now asking us to consider. So there may be some impact to the forecast on this project in the future as we look into that further. And then on the schedule side, there's been no change since the last report. We're still forecasting completion in May of 2020. I-405 Sepulveda Pass project, this item was brought to the board in February with a request to increase the project budget by $22.7 million, which was approved, and that was to incorporate some reduced funding for the reversible lane project, as well as to accept a grant from the state of California for certain improvements on the project. We're still anticipating coming back to the board in the future with a $78.7 million increase to reflect what we think is actually necessary to complete the project. Likewise, there is a schedule impact. We're now forecasting about a 30% slippage in total completion of the project. However, we're now working on trying to open this project in segments so that as soon as certain elements are ready to open, they'll be brought forward before that time. Congestion reduction demonstration program. This included three elements. The two express lanes on I-10 and 110. Those are both complete. The only remaining item on this project, on this program, is the Patzoris Plaza busway station. As was reported previously, the bids came in high on this element, so we've gone back and done some work to see if we can redo the project and do some value engineering. So we're now expecting to go out to bid next month. And at such time as those bids come in, we'll come back to you and let you know whether we think there's going to be a budgetary impact as a result of that that rework. And from a schedule standpoint, obviously, that set us back already. So we're forecasting that the completion date for that project element won't be until December of 2015. Division 13, bus maintenance facility. As has been discussed previously, the contingency for this project is very low. It's now at about 1%, which is far less than what we would normally have for a project at this stage of development. So we're expecting to come back to the board soon with a plan path forward in terms of the money that we feel is necessary in order to complete the project. And then from a schedule standpoint, we feel that the schedule is still pretty solid, so we're indicating that July 2014 is the likely completion date. Next, I'd like to get into the two construction authority projects. The first project I'd like to go into is the Golden Line Foothill Extension Phase 2A. As far as recent activities concerned, I've got Chris Berner, the Chief Project Officer from the Golden Line, here to discuss the activities that have been accomplished, but I just wanted to point out to you at this time that they did get the bids in for their final major construction element, which is their parking facilities. Unfortunately, the bids came in a bit higher than expected, about $10 million. So they've had to take some funds away from contingency to cover that. The contingency now stands at about 5%, which we still feel is sufficient to complete this project, absent any significant risk going forward. Next, I'd like to have Chris go through a couple of the recent activities.
Thank you. Good morning. The design's moving along very well. We have actually 74 of the 82 design packages that are approved for construction now, doing a lot of work throughout the entire alignment. The site work, we are grading and utility relocations throughout the entire 11.5 miles of the project. We have begun freight track construction. The eastern 3.5 miles of the project is a shared corridor, so it does include a freight track. We are going to put the first section of that track into service this weekend. At Gray Crossings, we've completed the Highland Avenue crossing in Duarte. We're working on the Duarte Avenue and California Avenue crossings stations. We're working on the Duarte station and the Monrovia stations. Structures, we are working on quite a few structures throughout the project. The Fifth Avenue pedestrian crossing has been completed. We're working on 9 other bridges throughout the alignment, and the maintenance facility is moving along well. The grading is complete. Right now we're installing foundations and utilities for that facility. But everything on the project is moving along well right now, and that concludes the report.
Are there any questions? Okay. Thank you.
OK,
Okay, the last presentation is on exposition. We've included both exposition phase one, which is complete, and expo phase two per a previous board request. So I'll just get into the schedule and cost forecast and then let Eric Olson, the chief project officer, get into the recent activities. Phase one, we're forecasting about an 8.2% $8.2 million increase to the current budget for this project. However, the authority is still trying to pursue some reimbursable savings from third parties. Some on the good news front, which I guess I'll let Eric get into that, so I'll pass on some of the details. Regarding phase two, no significant issues to report on either budget or schedule. The next major item of work that's moving forward is the maintenance facility on phase two. That's expected to be awarded in June of 2013. But in general, the schedule is looking very solid, as is the budget at this point in time. So with that, I'd like to pass it over to Eric.
Okay. On phase one, as Brian reported, revenue operations began to Culver City in June of last year. The modifications to the Junction Diamond were completed the weekend of February 15th, and that seems to be working satisfactorily. Metro, the PUC, and Expo are satisfied with the repairs that were made. The parking lot at Culver City actually was repaved last week. It's repaved in stripes, so that work is now complete. As far as project budget goes, as Brian reported, right now we're forecasting a $8.2 million shortfall, and that is exclusive of any additional contractor claims or other unknowns, and we continue to pursue other third-party reimbursable costs.
Phase two.
As far as phase two goes, the CPUC evidentiary hearings based on the protest filed by Neighbors for Smart Rail was heard in December of last year, and we're still waiting on the ruling from the administrative law judge. Our bikeway contract, we continue to try to work through that, trying to finish the scope of work, negotiate the scope of work with the design build contractor. We think we're very close there. The important piece now is to get the funding agreements taken care of between Metro and the cities of Los Angeles and Santa Monica so that we can go ahead and get the design work started so our contractor can incorporate this work into the overall guideway work. As Brian reported, we released the maintenance facility bid documents to our four most qualified bidders. This is our last piece of work that's yet to be awarded, so we're anxiously awaiting the bids to come in, and we're looking to go to our board for recommendation in May of this year. And that concludes my report.
Are there any questions? Thank you.
And that completes my report.
Thank you. Now we'll jump to item 51. Director Wiesar is here. Oh, excuse me. I have 52. Mr. Sachs. Well, if you're going to testify, come on up. Otherwise, we'll move to the report.
Yes, thank you very much. Good morning again, Arnold Sack. I have a couple of concerns here. With the Gold Line Construction Authority that was mentioned, is the loss of Mr. Balian, the chief executive of the Gold Line Foothill Extension, does that play into any of this? Will that create any kind of problem? Because he's now back in court with this murder trial that he's attending to for the county. I'm almost positive that the prosecutor, Habib Balian, is doing this Gerst-Hartstreiter murder case. So I'm wondering, will that take him away from his Gold Line Construction duties? Expo Phase 2 was mentioned, and it was something about cost. The 3% local return, something was mentioned about the payment being negotiated. How was that worked out? And for the Crenshaw line, just recently, Councilman Parks made a $40 million motion, made a motion in city council regarding $40 million
Thank
available
you.
For the
Thank
Lamar
you.
Park station.
Thank you very much.
How does that play into that?
Thank you. Mr. Murthy, you want to proceed?
Can you?
Brian Bordeaux already has reported to you on most of these projects. Just quickly on I-405, we recently opened the southbound 405 ramp 7 days ahead of schedule. There's a lot of work going on 405. Things are catching up. As soon as we can complete pieces of work that are complete and safe for public use, we are doing that. So we are trying to catch up with a lot of issues that we have to do. So any questions on 405? I think Brian has given all the updates we need. If not, our congestion reduction, this project is complete. We are working with the contractor to do the closeout and catch up with some of the unfinished items of work that we have to do. And I have Mr. Tim Lindholm here to talk about this Petzoros Plaza and Division 13 both.
Okay, good morning. Well, as Brian Boudreau talked about earlier, the story is the same on the Petzoros Plaza project. The bids came in high. We are redesigning. We've recently started that process. We'll have a final new design package in April for review, and we anticipate going out on the street in June. And we'll return back to the board once we get those bids. Division 13, we are making good progress on the construction front. The picture you see on the lower right is just about a week ago. It's changed substantially since then. There's a lot of rebar cages up out of the ground. The foundations are poured on half the site. We are knee-deep in utility relocations and foundation construction and tying the Division 13 foundation into the existing central maintenance facility. So there's a lot of work going on. Foundation construction started in February. The CNG contract is in the process of award. We'll be coming back to the board in April on that front. We did do significant value engineering and budget analysis. We'll probably talk about the undergrounding in a moment. So we do need direction on that fairly soon so it doesn't impact our schedule. At the time being, I'm pursuing parallel paths for both overhead and underground so that I don't lose any time. But we will get ourselves in a position sooner than later where we could get in the position of delaying our contractor, which we don't want to do. We are awaiting further DWP response in regards to cost sharing of the underground utilities. As far as staff discussions with DWP, they are basically treating us very similar to your average development project that typically would not receive help on the undergrounding front from DWP. But on the other fronts, there's higher level discussions, I believe, happening with the DWP. I think there's a meeting tomorrow with the COO over there.
Mr. Chair, if I could add, yes, thank you. At the request of the committee of this, the chair of this committee, we are engaging in those discussions. There's a meeting set up for tomorrow between our office and DWP. And I want to thank both you, Tim, and Murthy for your assistance in moving forward in this and being creative on how we can make this happen. But we've gotten some good response so far, but the meeting tomorrow will resolve some other issues. Thank you.
Good news.
And where are we on the look-see as it relates to Rule 20 money for the undergrounding?
I have heard not positive news on that on the staff front, but I'm hoping that could be talked about tomorrow at the higher.
Okay. Thank you.
One request I do have to the committee and to the board. For some reason, DWP looks at us as a developer, not as a sister agency in this town, trying to do things that are beneficial to the city and county. So maybe that view, if it is changed, we may be able to push.
Well, I think that should be discussed at your meeting tomorrow then, because that shouldn't be. We should be a sister agency, not treated like a developer. So maybe that issue can be raised. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
And then the last piece of news on Division 13 is that next month we'll be returning to the board with an item to approve and award the CNG contract, and also we will have an outlook on the budget for the rest of this project.
Okay. Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Just if any of the members are interested up on Paul's office on the 25th floor, you can look down and see the construction. It's an interesting angle for looking at a construction site, so invite you up if you'd like to look down the window at it.
Okay. Is that the whole report? Is that everything?
Yeah, quickly, the next ones I have is Buy America. I think we have a handle on these issues. We are still working with AT&T as well as the gas company. I don't have all the information to quantify the exact amount of dollars impact we may have on this project, but they have been cooperative and working with us on these projects. So if, as soon as we have all the information, we'll get back to the board. Crenshaw, I think Brian already talked about it. We have the proposals which in evaluation. Regional Connector is moving along forward. We are having series of meetings with the interested parties. And Westside Subway, as Brian said, we are on target. We are moving ahead. So that concludes my presentation.
I'm pretty close again. Okay. Mr. Sachs?
I get to Dr. Sachs in a few minutes, right? No.
Thank you. Good morning again, Arnold Sachs. On the cover of your item 51, Transit Project Delivery Status Report, mentioned significant issues. So again, I look at this. This is from the Finance and Budget Committee hearing, a meeting from November 14th, 2007. The props A and C collected $668 million in 2007. This is the year-end financial performance statement or report. And then from your report in January of 16th of 2013, it mentions that you expect to get $708 million for the fiscal year 2014, which shows an increase of $40 million from fiscal year 2007 to fiscal year 2014. You're supposed to be at $1.333 million for each one of those years. Do you think that that's a significant issue in construction for these projects? And the advocacy groups for Measure R, do they not think that that should impact any of the structures that you have promised through your bills, motions, and other assorted Christmas cards that you've sent out over the years?
Holy cow, what a load of crap.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You can put that in that pile of SOL. All right. Okay. We're receiving file item 51. Item 53.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you may know, the House passed a continuing resolution yesterday for appropriations onto the White House. I was up in the Antelope Valley yesterday for the opening of a new bus facility for Antelope Valley Transit, which we helped pay for. Last week, I was in Washington. Director Villaraigosa was there, Director O'Connor, and Director Du Bois. Obviously, we had meetings with legislative leaders as well as the modal administrators from USDOT. With that, I'll conclude. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Sachs didn't know what you were going to say, but he wanted to talk about it anyway. Okay, so.
Good morning again, Arnold Sachs. Not as if Washington had enough problems. He had to send a delegation from Los Angeles. SOL, sorry. By the way, this is from the Orange County Register. Good news, bad news on the Measure M. Measure M, this is a reforecast for Orange County's increased sales tax. Why does Orange County have the ability to reforecast a shortage in their sales tax and put it in a newspaper when the MTA in Los Angeles can't do the same thing? What are you afraid of? What's afraid of informing the public about the fact that you promised $1.333 million? Sir, I say that because it's easy for you as a metro person to say $1 billion and eliminate $333 million, or say $1.3 million and eliminate $33 million. But for people that ride the system, that $33 million, that means something.
Thank you. Okay, that's it, as I understand it. And you owe me $18.